This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Previously on the HeadGum Podcast.
That's your second one, or you've had two?
Daddy, chill.
Nice.
God.
Don't
so
drink so much
caffeine.
So many
more sounds since I've been here. Oh my God. How do you guys do this every week? This is maybe my fourth time on the show. And how do you want... Oh my fucking God. How do you get a goddamn word in edgewise? What is the point? Are we just all here to entertain Jeff as he like files through different sound keys?
Yeah.
And we
Holy
just
shit.
Like, oh
word
my
of the week.
God.
No fucking way. Word of the week. She already got it. That's $1,000 to Riley.
What was it?
Jeff. Start off with a bang right off the bat, right? We're getting it high energy. We're getting everyone up on a Friday because you guys entered the room with this sort of sullen, sunken-eyed energy, and I have to be the one to facilitate.
Sunken-eyed Joe, why did you go? Where do you come from? Where do you go? Sunken-eyed.
Amir's kind of facilitating.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from?
Sunken-eyed Joe. Ruined it.
Okay.
You absolutely ruined it.
Let's channel all our energy into joy today. I'm smiling. I'm happy. I'm feeling lighthearted, and I want to keep it that way. And it's up to you guys not to kind of set me off.
Okay.
I will say it does. It's usually someone's own responsibility to like monitor their own, but we'll do what we can.
Self-regulating emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of self-soothing.
Yeah.
I know the lingo.
You clearly okay. work on yourself a lot, but it doesn't ever show.
Translate. Yeah. That's the hard.
No, and that is
what's
hard.
Props for doing, you know, step one.
But it's weird to go to the gym and emerge.
The stuff comes through.
It's like you're working out, but you're emerging weaker. I don't know how that's possible.
I mean, I put in the time,
cardio.
I put in the hours, and it's like, well, cardio is the real answer.
Yeah.
Let's just shake it out, right?
It's a dance.
Oh. Hold it.
Was that a Gen Z thing?
Dance song? No, it says Sans Default Dance.
The specific Shake It Out dance.
Oh, that's an improv warm-up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Don't do
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's
sorry,
awesome.
Don't find common ground. Don't bring up improv. Don't just, yeah.
You never did
I
improv.
Want to be really clear up top. I never want to bring up improv. It's something within me. I don't want, it's something that comes through.
It has to happen. It's coming out whether you want it or not.
I think it'd be fun to do, sorry, one second, Amir. I think it'd be fun
I wasn't
to do like
talking.
Sorry then. We should do a Marie Kondo episode to see if not only the clothes in our closet, but the show itself sparks joy.
A Marie Kondo? A Marie Kondo? Like Marika?
Jeff doesn't like it. I think it's clever.
Is he frozen? Or? No, he's
when
thinking.
You go, when
yeah,
you go he, for the
he
joke.
He didn't understand it.
No, major key that... alert. Major key alert. Now you say what you're going to say.
No, it's not even a major key alert. It's just genuine advice. Like, I don't want to tell you how to be funny, but like, yeah. When you go for the joke, when you gun for it, people can sense that desperation. Yeah.
What was and in that can? It looked like a Slim Fast shake. Wow. Cookies and cream shake.
That can looks like it was put in a vending machine in 98 and you're the first person to take it out.
That's a dusty can.
That the design hasn't been touched since they first made the drink in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was can, stocked in 98.
A dairy can. You never want to see a creamy can. Cans should be like for watery drinks.
Do you ever, whenever I'm at like a, if I'm getting like my car fixed, I'm at like a Jiffy Lube or something and they have creamer, that never sits right with me.
Oh, like think, the little,
yeah,
little packets.
I'm like, I don't know how long this has been here and I don't know how warm it's been kept.
Yeah. Why does it not have to be refrigerated? They just keep them on the table at diners.
And it unsettles me. It really does.
Like every milk has to be refrigerated except for those loose little vials of half and half. It seems like those should be the most cold.
To me, yeah.
They Jeff is muted.
In my
Jeff,
head.
We can't hear you, Jeff. Yeah.
So I don't but that's okay, I think.
Ultimately, it was the best part of the show, kind of, non-coincidentally.
We connected on something. We were sort of...
Yeah, working. It's really nice to be in studio with Casey on the video and Anya on the audio, because I don't have to think about anything other than the joysin that I bring to the table. That's joy and poison. And now when we're at home, it's like this cord does, if you, even if you don't touch it, it somehow falls out of whack. But ultimately...
That was easy.
Not really, though, right?
Really?
Almost not at all.
Creamer. Let's talk about it. There was a day when I was like
we
10.
Already did it. We already talked about creamer. You were muted or something, but I think we exhausted. The creamer Discord has run its course.
There was a day when I was like 10 or 11 and I drank hazelnut creamer from the jug.
How much of it? The whole thing?
I think probably a good chunk.
A jug of creamer? Seems mm-hmm. like that's not... They usually come in small containers because you're just supposed to use a splash at a time.
You're just supposed to use a splash at a time because there's sugar in it.
Was it Coffee Mate?
Yeah, it was Coffee Mate hazelnut.
So they do have the bigger size. And... Those also stress me out.
How so?
Those have to be refrigerated. The other ones, smaller ones, don't.
They have to be refrigerated unless you're like at a hotel when they do continental breakfast and then all of a sudden,
all bets are out.
Don't get me started on continental breakfasts. I can't get enough of this shit, man.
Why?
It's one of the worst breakfasts overall.
Cereal and bread. The milk is rarely cold enough. Yeah. It's like out in a... It's like slightly touching ice at the bottom.
I agree.
But it's
the orange juice is Sunny D.
Yeah.
In a Tropicana can.
Absolutely.
From concentrate.
Absolutely, really. And
not really.
I'm glad that we all agree.
And it's cornflakes, usually only Raisin Bran.
Have you seen the Key and Peele Continental Breakfast sketch? I think it might be
it's
one
a great
of my
sketch.
Favorite comedy sketches ever. If you're listening to the show, turn it off, maybe forever. Go watch the Continental Breakfast Key and Peele sketch. That's comedy.
A delight to the senses. Isn't it, my friend?
Ah, the Danish, clearly from Brussels.
Yeah, that's funny. But we have to make our own comedy because we're literally on the clock here. You can't just like cite other jokes, pass them off as your own because other people are watching the sketch and laughing because they're not laughing because of you.
Didn't pass it off as I actually gave sort of a lot of credence to the original creators.
I told people to stop listening to this and to start watching the
he said
Peele
this
sketch.
Is the thing I make money off of, but instead stop
and go do other things.
Amir's going broke because of how much he wants to honor other comedians.
I'm a martyr.
I'd rather you go for broke on the
what's
show.
What's that?
I'd rather you go for broke on the show. Come up with something quoteworthy so that the Out of Context HeadGum Podcast Twitter account tweets the nonsense.
No, they made me seem like a Republican once.
What did you say?
I said that Biden was old and senile. I regret voting for him. And that
no, I said something about how we didn't like unions, but it was a joke.
And now you've said it on this episode and they can take it out of context and do it again.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's gotcha journalism a little bit.
Yeah.
And they got me.
That's funny. Sometimes if you just say something's funny and laugh, like people, other people will also think it's funny because they want to be in on the joke.
Major right. key alert.
Major key alert. Here we go. It's time for everyone's Bonds of the Absolute Week. Every week until the next James Bond is cast, we're going to put up our vote for who we want as the next 007. This week, mine's going to be John Scout.
Why? His name rhymes with something about Reese or Cheese or
You don't know
Cleese.
John Scout?
No.
He no, created Spree.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You must not know about Spree. You must not know about Spree. It's a compressed dextrose candy. Has a candy shell in a chewy center, baby. You must not know about Spree. You must not know about Spree. I used to think Spree stood for a sprained knee. So don't you ever for a second get to thinking I'm smarter than a Spree.
You're
Does
smarter
Headgum
than...
have any of those programs where they'll pay if you take classes in something?
Oh. So we sort of sponsor Jeff, but he's not learning anything. It's just for a lobotomy or something. Was that a... You drank a 35-gram protein shake.
Yeah.
Did you work out this morning?
It can't be refreshing. It can't be refreshing. And you went, yeah. And it couldn't have tasted. That couldn't have been.
Chocolate milk.
Yeah, it couldn't have been like, any more dairy.
No, I've had a Spree.
Yeah, I've never heard of
that. I guarantee Spree that some people don't know about Spree.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Must be a Cleveland thing.
Who are you guys' bonds of the week?
Doesn't matter. You already said and did the thing that you needed to do. But yeah, Shelby, do you have a bond of the week?
I don't know. Michael Cera.
That's cool.
Not really.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Same person.
Well,
same
both
vibe.
Really good. Both really good Bond vibes.
Yeah.
You have to admit it'd be funny to see Michael Cera as Bond.
That's just a sketch.
No, I think it could be a whole movie if you really want it to be. If you commit.
It's a 2-hour sketch.
Michael Cera?
Yeah.
He's talented, but I don't think I would ever go like, he's really talented. Like, you guys know that he's talented, but he's more than what you think.
He's out of this world. If he were to be cast as Bond, he would really become the character.
You think he would work out for it, or?
I don't think he needs to. He's got
no
what he
way.
He'll take one ski lesson, but that's it.
Exactly. All he needs, all a real spy needs is the know-how. And I think he does.
And what does that mean to you? The know-how?
How to get in and out.
How to get in and out of a situation, how to like operate a mission or just how
situation,
to...
Situation, place. I mean, you got to get in and out. That is being a spy. Being a spy is almost explicitly being getting in and getting out.
Yeah.
Not really. It's usually it's like getting the information that helps your country. I feel
and then
like.
Getting
you didn't
out of
that
there.
At all, and then getting out of there. That's like, but yeah, all right.
Yeah.
If you boil it all down, it's getting in, getting out. That's being a spy.
That you can say about anything. You can say about like being. Yeah. You know, speaking of, you could say that about being a union worker. It's about clocking in and clocking out. Podcasting.
Well, that's
you get
true
into the record,
about
you get out.
No, at a podcast, there's a whole other thing in the middle.
We're
same
anti-union.
With espionage.
We're
same
anti-union.
With espionage. Same
don't
with
talk about
12
unions.
Hour days.
Do not even bring that up.
Even, it's,
the idea of workers getting together to force
have
their
a better
hand.
Time.
Yeah.
Snooze.
This is crazy. Yeah. Let's just fucking move on. Let's talk about the supply chain issue. A couple weeks ago, we sort of fixed it, but it still seems to be. It still seems to be sort of floundering. It seems to be frail and fragile. It doesn't seem like, you know, why, we live in such a global economy that it's like getting parts even for American manufacturing often comes from overseas. And what do you do when the barges are just up to their ankles in
I have
tape?
Zoned out so hard.
It was really, it's like campaign finance reform. Just those words make you... bored instantly.
I glazed Daniel. Over so fast.
Then let's talk about the Discovery Warner Media merger announced this morning.
Why do you only have really high level, tedious, dry breaking news? Corporate mergers, supply chain management. Let's talk about fun shit.
All right, watches and wonders. Geneva, Switzerland, the fucking watch conference.
I feel like I'm at a convention in Spokane, Washington. Why there? That's where I feel like they do conventions
a trade
for
show.
Business.
I'd love to know what you guys think of the new Vacheron Constantine 222. Because Hodinkee said that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Show a picture or something.
It's a watch.
I don't. All right, here we go. Let me show the picture. This is going to make it harder to edit, but whatever Shelby wants.
Well, you're asking us our opinion, and you act like we've...
That
this looks
look
like
special.
A lot of other watches.
Yeah, it looks kind of bad, actually. It's like shiny in a not cool way, I don't think.
Is this shiny to you?
Yes. It looks like
really?
A Zelda. It looks like the Zelda
the way
game
on
the
that top
90s.
Picture right there, it looks very much like a cobra. King Cobra Snake.
I don't know why I asked you guys. This sucks. Rolex released a left-handed GMT with your left-hand T with a GM.
I'm genuine. Are watches hand-specific?
Normally, they're all for righties.
Switch hitters.
But if you're a right-handed person, you wear it on your left wrist. And so they released a watch specifically for lefties, which would actually go on your right wrist. Meaning the crown is towards the hand.
Oh my God. Shut up. Enough. Stop it. The crown is towards the hand. That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing.
It took them, hold on. How long has Rolex been a company? It took them till 2022 to flip a crown?
Well, there's a lot of manufacturing that goes into it, you know, making the case molds to flip it, you know, whatever,
could take
to mirror
3
it.
3 months
could take-
tops.
Something that I really care about it though is like watches.
I know. I'm just asking if you know why it would have taken them this long.
Because you know they don't have the molds to make the case.
But we don't care about you.
Oh.
You care about watches, which is good. The disconnector sort of chasm that we have yet to cross. This bridge that's too either thin or fragile for us to traverse is we, and I'm not just talking about Shelby and me at this point. You get that. We as in the royal global we, the listeners of the show, don't care about you, Jeff. So you can speak passionately about something that it's not getting through.
I could see that for a second Jeff was going to try and sort of fake sad, and then he broke and laughed. Aww. But I could see it in his nose that he was starting to do a little cry, and then got him a little...
Major key alert, don't hide the cry when you try. In your eyes, it all comes out in the wash / end.
When you don't do the claps, I do them.
We do have to take a quick break, but we'll be back after I compose myself and we thank some sponsors.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, my social battery is starting to come back, I have to say, because, you know, we're all less social in the winter, habitually, and I feel like I've sort of charged up for a summer of filling my cup. But it can be easy to ignore our social battery altogether and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter, like I said. What's the right amount of socialization for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm in therapy every week. It definitely helps me rearrange my priorities so that I can prioritize my social battery and making sure I have that time to recharge, which I need. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/whatsthat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatsthat. Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
You guys need a bathroom break?
Nope.
And we're back. Oh, God. Huge thanks to Faherty for that one. You're crazy for that one, Faherty.
It might be a different ad. These are dynamically inserted. So depending on when people listen to it, it may or may not have been a Faherty ad.
What happened to you earlier, man? I feel like you're really coming after me this episode. All I did was
Normal.
Bond of the Week with John Scout, Creator of Spree.
Yeah, it's the usual. Right. Par for the course.
Full steam ahead. Favorite sports?
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, me too, actually. But and as good as basketball is, I feel like the world is waiting for that next sport. You know, there was so much excitement around High Alive for so many decades that I think it's starting to wane, and I think we need a new sport.
Actually, there is kind of a new sport that I'm curious to try because I hear good things about.
What is it?
Pickleball.
I've been playing pickleball.
What the hell's pickleball?
How is it?
Pickleball is like if you took tennis and you took ping pong and you sort of just met in the middle.
Yeah, it's like paddle tennis with a wiffle ball. It's doubles only, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's gaining popularity.
Singles, but it's hard.
Is that the thing with the curved...
No, that's High Lie we were talking about. You said it was it had its few decades. You already brought up High Lie. It's not the thing with the curves.
It's not but it's the super fast thing.
High Lie. Listen
kinda
to
like
what we're saying.
Kind of like tennis speed.
Okay.
Pickleball. And I guess it's a good post-retirement sport because there's not a lot of like running involved, but you're still getting some good cardio in. And I've been playing tennis a lot recently, so I feel like it would help my pickleball skills, so I'm curious to try. I think it's, like, big in Arizona right now, but it's starting to spread.
Yeah, there's a few courts in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
Specifically pickleball?
Yes. There's wow. Two courts in Highland Park. There's a bunch in North Hollywood for some
Interesting.
Reason. Interesting. And, like, Burbank.
Are they, like, full, or you have to make a reservation?
In Burbank, they're usually full. The ones in Highland Park that I found are almost always empty.
Are you playing doubles or is it you could do one-on-one as well?
I've done both.
This is just paddle.
Hmm? Sure.
This is what they play in Venice all the time.
No, that's like, you can like do that on the beach. This is like on a court. It's almost like tennis. There are rules.
No, there's like paddle courts, and I guess they're calling it pickleball.
It's a little different.
It's what I'm saying it is.
Okay.
Or you're off the show.
Something really sinister just watched over Jeff. Something really spooky just happened to him. I can see it in his eyes, and then just something really switched.
Whatever. Pickleball's having a moment, but we're not making any fucking money off of that. So I thought we could, in the next, let's say, 8 minutes, come up with a sport to take the world by storm.
Yeah, so the difference between paddle tennis and pickleball is court dimension, court layout, the rackets, the balls, and the scoring system are different.
So everything about it. Other than
hitting
the
ball with a racket.
Let's,
the materials are the same-ish.
We have to come up with something unexpected because every other sport, for the most part, has a ball.
Interesting.
Let's do away with the ball.
Okay. Hockey has a puck.
All right, then like there can't be an object. There can't be this like roundy or like a, you know, sphere.
Like surfing, would you say that's a sport?
That's a sport that doesn't have a ball.
Okay.
So actually,
what about
you want?
But that's like, it can't be racing and it can't be trick based.
What about surfing with darts?
And it can't just be like putting two things together. It has to be something completely new. Like with the first person to like put a plank of wood in the water and ride that shit, that guy is like created something unbelievable. He created something that transcends time and space. And we have to do the same thing right now in the next
but
now.
You
seven
said
minutes.
You wanted to do so this in the interest dilly-dally. Of money, and I guess I'm wondering, did that guy make any money off of surfing?
There's also like spiritual currency where like, because when
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
I wonder if there's like, and I mean, let's be honest here. A lot of sports are trying to like change the world, but it's the fact that they're doing everything for profit that they can't. Right. You know, it's like a lot of, you know, you see basketball players wearing shirts that say things that are obviously making a positive impact on in terms of social change. But how does our sport further the world? And we have 6.5 minutes.
I want the sport to be like doing my laundry or something. Make it fun. Make laundry fun again.
What if it's like planting trees
fast?
Fast, but it can't be a race and there can't be like a ball. And I feel like a tree is almost a ball.
It's unrelated to a ball. Seeds have nothing to do with balls.
What's a sport that somebody could play also without any equipment? Because like that would make it, you know, it could be a worldwide sport like football.
Jumping.
Okay, now we're on to something. How do we jump with an objective?
Yeah, like
high
hurdles.
Jump, long jump,
yeah.
Hurdles.
No, triple no, jump. No, 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 no. None of those, because those exist. If there's a word for it, it's already a sport.
You want us to create a game using no words that we already know?
Okay, not no words we already know, but not, so track and field, right? Let's say that's all one umbrella sport. Just spitballing here, free associating in a way. What about back and yield?
Back and yield. Okay. So what would that be, out of curiosity?
It would be like sports massage competitively that yields some kind of result.
Yields a result?
The first one's going to be bad, all right? Once we get 7 ideas in, suddenly we're working with gas. That's actually kind of interesting. How do you make a stove a sport?
They do that with, like, Food Network.
Okay, shit.
My Zoom might
like
die.
Like, Chopped and stuff like that.
It's hard.
When my Zoom dies, I think I'm going to leave. So I'll
what?
Let, like, yeah.
Do you
it's
even have
of
one
like
bar?
It's down to one bar, and it might last the episode. But, like, okay. I'm not going to, like, go get batteries for the rest of this. Like, yeah.
Okay.
What you're saying makes me want to go away. So I'll just let the fates decide when that happens.
I feel like people don't write longhand anymore. That could be something that people train for by doing like that thing with the weight. And then it's like, you know, who can write the best? Not even just the fastest.
Can I genuinely ask, what is writing longhand?
Like not typing.
Oh,
so writing.
Okay.
So yeah, but like it's like a writing competition, but they already have those. This sucks.
We've gamified most stuff because nobody it makes things easier to do.
So there you go. What has not been, you know, turned competitive? Sex? Anyone can do that, and you could have sex for points.
What about some sort of falling asleep contest?
What about sex for points?
It seems like it'll immediately go misogynistic.
You both fell silent. Really?
I feel like immediately it'll be anti-woman.
Really?
So quickly it'll fall into like a women are sex, but men are awesome.
Sex doesn't have to be penetrative, so, you know, it could also be like, how good can you eat ass for points?
But the judge is so subjective.
Well, so, I mean,
unless
so
you could
like
get
gymnastics.
Like a robot to be like,
gymnasties. Like, that's what we could call it. That's marketable. That's very, I think advertisers
would be really
interested.
I feel
like
the only way you could judge it right would be if the recipient was not human. And there was sensors and receptors being like, they did good at this.
Okay.
Because I think if it's a person, it's like there's so much preference in there.
That's interesting. Amir, speak on that.
No. Like, I don't want to have to talk about competitive sex with you. Like, you backed me into a corner. I don't feel comfortable with this dialogue. So,
I don't feel like I've been at HeadGum long enough to say no, so I feel like I had to say yes. That
yes,
was
of course, and that's the problem. Like, Jeff puts you into these social situations that you feel stuck, and you're forced to do something that you're not necessarily super comfortable with, and that's like that's the vibe of the show here. It's just like it's gross, it's tacky, it's unnecessary, it's uncouth. So I don't want to talk about gymnasties because it seems like you're sort of guiding the conversation there anyway.
This is hard. By the way,
that was easy.
We do have 2 minutes to come up with the best sport in the world. I'm wondering if there's something to do with art, because art has already been commodified, but how do we gamify it? Who can make the best statue in a year? So the season
in a house,
in a hat, with a side of sauce.
Who can make the best statue in a year? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. That's a good sport.
Awesome sport.
I also feel like sports favor the young. So what's something that favors young, Carl or otherwise?
What? Not the sex thing from before.
This sucks.
You
this
sick
sucks.
Ass.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You came up with it.
It's your doing.
You wanted to do this.
How do you make air something to compare? Who has the cleaner air? And it's like, it can be sort of like Formula One.
They already,
it's like,
don't they already know that?
Yeah, you can measure that.
No, I'm saying like, who can make the best air purifier? And then who can use the air purifier to clean the room the best? And it'd be like F1.
Because you mechanics. Are talking about business. This is not a game.
Yeah.
This is not a game.
Forget
this
it.
Is two air purifier
forget
companies.
It. I knew you guys wouldn't get it. We have to move on. This sucks.
Product.
It's climate change. You're talking about politics or something. Plugs.
No way. do you guys know your Myers-Briggs test?
I forget. That's the ENF whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm like an... Would it make sense if I said ENF like J/T?
ENF Justin slash Timberlake.
Yes. That's what it was.
I don't think the slash T means anything, but
I've had like a J dash T, like my last one is a mix.
Oh. Well, it would be dash P then.
Yeah.
I'm an INFJ.
You're an introvert?
Yeah. I get exhausted by stuff like this.
You do it so often.
I know. That's why I'm always tired.
Oh.
Amir?
I'm an AMIR, a one of a kind. No, I'm an IT
specialist.
I'll
got her. Well, it's good that we know ourselves, some more than others. But today I wanted to introduce a new personality test. The Breyers-Miggs test.
So much of your things are just switching the first letter.
This is going to be how you interact with others based on ice cream and pop punk bands.
Okay.
Breyers, of course, being sort of a dairy entity.
Yeah,
Miggs
yeah.
being a naughty oddies pop punk outfit out of San Francisco. Amir, let's start with you. When you're in social scenarios, do you get drained by the end of the night? Or by the end of the night after spending time with people, are you sort of...
So this is just the regular one, but
no,
not have anything...
The result will be different.
Okay, sure. I feel drained at the end of a night of talking to people, yes.
So you're sort of difficult. A Ryan Ross. You're sort of a Ryan Ross from Panic at the Disco in that exact regard. Because he sort of strikes me as an introvert, I have to guess.
There's usually more questions, right?
There are. He didn't respond.
I don't know who that is.
You probably didn't know what judgment meant until you took the Myers-Briggs.
Of course I knew what judgment meant.
When you're at an ice cream parlor, do you like to sit in the middle of the room or at the sides? And also, what flavor do you get?
You're clearly making this up as you go along.
You I really thought of a better flavor question. Would be what the test delivered.
Yeah.
That is what the test delivers, but it's like sometimes the test will ask you, do you think you're an introvert or an extrovert? And if you think you're an introvert, that means you're an extrovert. This sucks.
Once again, absolutely your choice.
I sit in the sides and I get cookies and cream.
Cookies okay. and cream, like your weird milk juice.
All right, Amir, when you find yourself in a group of strangers, do you cope with the social anxiety by talking a lot, or do you sort of sink into the shadows?
Shadows.
Really? That's
yeah.
interesting. And when you are with family, mm-hmm. do you end up resolving conflict or maybe accidentally starting it?
Neither. I neither start nor end conflict.
I've got
you
your results.
You just exist within it.
I've got your results.
Okay.
You're going to be a DWWCWCC.
Okay.
That's Dallin Weeks waffle cone with chocolatey chips. So you're sort of a touring bassist. Who can't get enough of waffle cones? Cake cones, even sometimes.
And we have to do that again with Shelby now?
Yeah.
Because it took so long the first time.
It took 5 minutes. It's a 10-minute segment.
Same questions for her, or did you think of new questions?
There's always new questions with this game.
Okay.
This test, sorry. I'm already
that
thinking
actually
about sports.
Helps, yeah. It helps that there's a little bit of different stuff.
Yeah.
Let's hear the first question, then see how different it is.
Shelby, when you laugh, is it more of a grin-based laugh, or is it an open mouth, ha, ha, ha?
I guess it depends how funny the joke is.
That's a good answer, but for the test, you have to choose one.
It says open mouth, ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
What's this?
I would say that's a grin.
Okay, then yeah. that, probably.
Cool.
Unless you really get me.
When traveling, do you take the lead in planning? Or is it something that you're just... Or is it something that you're just along for the ride for, is what I was going to say.
I'm along for the ride.
That's awesome. In terms of dairy, how thick can it get?
Scientifically? Hard cheese.
Really?
That's the hardest dairy gets.
Okay. And how hard do you get?
What's up?
I'm asking you the Breyers-Miggs questions.
How hard do I get?
Yeah.
In regards to what, Jeff?
I don't know. Hard to be around, fully erect.
In general?
Angry.
Right now, a lot.
Right. And when you're around a campfire, do you sort of work to build the fire? Or do you... Are you just along for the ride?
I like to build the fire.
Really? Yeah. That's going to change your entire result, actually.
Well, I like to do it, so I guess it's the better answer.
The results are in. Shelby, you are a KTTLFV.
Katie Tunstall.
Katie Tunstall, lactose-free vanilla.
Was it really Katie Tunstall?
Yeah.
What is she? Lactose what band freak? Is she in?
She was in Migs.
And she was also, didn't she do Suddenly I See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell could be so bad? Suddenly I see.
See, suddenly I see.
This is
see,
where I want to be.
Amir, sorry, never sing because it doesn't sound good. Shelby, it does feel like this result resonated with you a little bit.
Not lactose free. I can have as much of it as I want.
Okay, then just homemade vanilla then. Let's change it to KTTHMV.
Okay.
I mean, sound it's kind of a boring flavor. When I sing.
I would say it's a boring flavor.
No, you don't. You suck at singing. There's an entire Lonely and Horny episode about how you can't sing.
I was acting.
You sing on your
so
podcast all the time.
Right now.
No, this is real. You this sing on your podcast all the time as a joke. You know it's a gaffe, and your audience is aghast. Every time you open your trap.
This is tough to watch and sit around and sort of see happening.
Some people have pipes like an organ. You have pipes like an 18th century penitentiary.
What do you mean?
You're rusty. And I don't mean because you haven't been in the game for a while. You've been in the game and you're covered in soot.
I'm in the game and I'm covered in...
Game over.
Plugs! Amir, what do you got going on, man?
Sorry,
Social media projects.
You said a lot of really mean shit to me 30 seconds ago.
Sorry.
You said I sound like shit. My pipes are rusty.
Yeah.
With soot, not unlike an 18th century prison.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in the mood to say where
that he doesn't want to plug his singing show now.
Yeah, like I was about to drop my SoundCloud. And for what?
His choir is performing all weekend and now he's not going to say anything about
it. You sing with others?
Yeah, I'm a alto in a kid's choir.
No way.
And a soloist, too.
That's so high.
I caught his last show because I babysat a kid in the choir.
And?
Did definitely bring a deeper voice than anyone else had in the choir.
You sang the alto part an octave down, which made it all sound strange.
Suddenly,
oh, so many kids.
I see.
Even the lowest voiced kid is sort of up here.
Where?
Here.
Mm.
This is the kid tone.
I feel like the vibes have been great today.
Oh my God.
Why?
What's that?
Why do you think that?
Oh, I just think the three of us got on really well. I think we came up with probably the greatest sport ever in competitive sex with robots.
Didn't
I think
say
we,
that.
Well, we definitely made some casting decisions. We're going to put out the offer to John Scout, the Dead Spree creator. And ultimately,
Michael Cera.
Ultimately, Michael Cera is our backup.
He deserves the role.
And your personality is KTT, HV, and Amir's is some weird combination of W's and C's. And I think that's fine. I think we did something big. Sometimes it feels like something's about to happen cosmically. This was it. Plugs.
Cash me outside. How about da?
The da. How about da?
Plugs. This is like, it can't end until you guys plug your nonsense.
Jeff, we have a show together. You plug it.
Shelby and I have a show together at Lyric Hyperion Monday, April 18th, which actually is the Monday after this episode comes out. So why don't
is that
you get
a monthly thing, or are you just committed to one show?
Monthly.
Well, we're committed to one, but it's going to be monthly.
Ideally, also, monthly.
Wow. And is it like always like the third Monday of every month, or is it like we'll figure out May when it happens?
It's going to be a figure out May when it happens type of vibe.
Probably eventually get to blank
a more consistent thing, but I think, you know, we got some stuff, we got some kinks,
yeah,
and then
to figure out
how many tickets need to be sold for the Lyric Hyperion, like what's capacity there?
Capacity I think is like 70 total, but it also can be 55, so it's a pretty intimate venue. But we have a great lineup. We have Caleb Heron, Shelby's co-host, Broti Gupta, and
Kylie Brakeman and Taylor Guerin.
And
so that's a
how many tickets have
you
sold
comedy
so far?
We haven't checked.
I see. So not too many.
Probably 20. I'd have to 20-ish. Guess 20-ish because yeah, we announced it 2 days ago.
And the goal is to
10
just,
per day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goal is to sell it out and then keep it going. What's in it for you guys if other people are doing stand-up?
Attention.
Cash and attention.
Oh, you guys get a cut at the door and some of the applause at the top and bottom of the show.
Tip your performers.
Yeah, people are like, wait, that was fun. Good job.
Tip your performers. You do it for tips?
What's that?
You're not getting paid. You're asking people for money when they get there.
I'd be nice. Yes. It'd be fair if it's funny.
It's like we're giving you a service, you know?
Yeah.
You pay for, because people pay for the show, but then you also want
right,
them to
but
pay.
You pay for a meal and then you tip your waiter.
Yeah.
I see.
And you pay for
so
a show.
They're
and
paying
you
for
me
the show and then they're
we're serving hot comedy. So it's sort of like, oh, you tip your servers.
Yeah.
And then do you guys now know more comedians? Because those are the core four, like what happens in May? You get who do you
we've
ask
got a
to do the show?
We got a pretty big backlog of people begging to be on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Who,
yeah.
Can you drop some names? Who can we expect for May and beyond? If you guys do like,
I'm trying to decide if I should be earnest or fake.
That's sort of the log line of this entire podcast.
I put an email into Flo from Progressive. She's sort of funny in those spots.
Okay. So this might be the best show to go to then. The April show.
Yeah, people should go to the April one.
Come to the April one. It is stacked.
But after that.
And who knows? But if it goes well, if it's fun, if we get shit done.
And then Shelby, why did you decide to go the Jeff is my co-host route? Because it feels like these are your friends. You could have easily done this show. sans... anchor.
Yeah, it's something that certainly what's up Jeff
sans. Yeah, I can't quite read what he's saying.
We see sans, there's more to it that we can't see.
It's not relevant, it's just he said sans.
Yeah. Was it Jeff's
why
idea?
Why Jeff? Jeff has a certain people, so part of having people come, to get people to come to your show other than other shows, there does have to be a little bit of pity.
I see.
And
sort
Jeff
of like,
sort
yeah
of really brings that.
There's so this are, idea that people seem to kind of unanimously agree with, at least on the east side of Los Angeles, that I'm hanging on by a thread. So to not come to the
and
show
and people don't
want to
be the one to break that thread. So
yeah,
it's sort of like, for me, I could get the guests, but I can't get the sympathy attendees. And I think Jeff
can
brings
fill out
that
those
side
last
of the audience
15
in
seats. Yeah.
And those people are sort of the biggest laughers because they're trying to make sure he doesn't break down.
Yeah, correct. So
best audience members are the ones that are there to help Jeff get through the day.
Yeah. And it is a low bar for me, but if I don't hit it, it's, I'm, you know,
tough.
In my room for a month. Hmm? I'm in my room for a month.
Yeah.
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 You can follow me on Instagram at Jeffrey James, on Twitter at Jeff Boyardee, trying to get to 10,000 before the 100th episode. So tell your friends, tell your fiends, tell your foes, tell your family. This sucks.
What's up?
This sucks. Plug your not. Did you guys plug anything?
We did this for you.
We already plugged.
No, thank you. Really, I actually appreciate it.
No, not thank you. You said this sucks. That was your gut, knee-first reaction.
Listen to Keeping Records. It releases on this day as well.
Really?
And follow me at Shelby Wolstein on all platforms because I make it easy to find me.
Hell yeah.
Me. 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 Me.
Yeah. That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.